F that, let's have a bit of local.
Durston Fletcher.
Get Gherkin.
From
Bristol with
love. From bristolwithlove.wordpress.com. Here we are, welcome to From Bristol with Love.
I'm Dick Gherkin.
I'm Durston Fletcher. Pow, have a laugh.
Show 7.
There we go. We're going to start with the shout outs. Shout one out to Matt the Bike, Lisa, Alex, all our lovely Catalyst listeners. I love all over them. Ross, me ma.
The boss.
Me ma, obviously. Dearest. Naughty Jim. Who's Afeard?
Yeah, Kevin Who's Afeard.
Yeah, if that's right. And our Catalonian supporters.
Lovely.
Oh, yeah, we'll get right on that. And today we've got a guest with us, Noel West. Say, say hello, Noel.
Hello.
There we go.
We'll hear more from you
later on.
And a little shout out to Mr. Rolling Thunder as well. Yeah, we'll think about you later. Take a step.
Speak about this, son. Speak about this, son.
I'm angry about.
Back. So welcome to the show. Here we are.
Number 7.
It's been a lovely little, how long's 2 weeks we do it? Every 2 weeks, I think.
Roughly, isn't it?
I think this is a week and a half, though.
A bit less, isn't it?
Have that, regular.
Pow, it's awesome.
Pow, it's constant. So that track was for, it was a request, wasn't it? We do requests here. That was for Lisa. Aww. Lovely Lisa. She doesn't like the word cunt, so...
Don't use it. If you use that word, you're
fucking dead.
a bad person.
Speaking of bad people...
Oh, you're learning. You're getting the angles, isn't you?
We are Liberal Democrats in Bristol.
Bad people, yes.
There we go. They put a shout out today saying, and I quote, "We have declared war on supermarkets."
Dun, dun, dun.
They have pure hatred for super. They hate them. They hate every single one of them. Not just like, oh, a Tesco. Fucking all of them.
That's it.
Everyone. Yeah. I've had two swear words now.
That's one at all, yeah. Oh, I have actually. Sorry.
So basically, they're saying we need this quote. We need more control over supermarkets.
Should have thought that a couple of fucking years ago, didn't
well,
they? Really?
Yeah, you know.
Pretty late to say that, isn't it?
You know, a lot of areas are flooded with them, you know, and certain football
clubs.
Him?
Didn't they approve Ashton Gate?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't they approve fucking Golden Hill?
Yeah.
That was janker wanker, wasn't it?
It's a lot of them, yeah. And that now it's like, well, as you said, coming up to election.
Well.
Here we go, you know. And
someone's going a backbone. Well.
The thing is with me, I think, you know, I got a bit of a theory about all of this, you see.
Tell us.
They're declaring war. Like, obviously, I think Lib Dems have always had pure hatreds for supermarkets. They've always wanted war. They've had this building up since they did. You were created many years ago.
A simmering resentment.
And so what it is, all of this, I think it was the Lib Dems who threatened to bomb Tesco.
It fits.
In Stokes Croft, it was them. And I think it was them who smashed the windows in at Tesco in the riots. And it's a bit of an exclusive for you, but basically, I saw on the day of the riots, Councillor John Williams filling up a petrol canister.
Oh my God, OMG.
At a petrol station.
OMG.
Now, I just made the assumption, as it was John Williams, he was going to burn down Kerem's.
Like. Something like that.
But
or even John Rogers.
Well, yeah. But no. I think it was him who did.
Well, that's all they had to do.
And I think, actually, they're the outsiders who have come in to spark off these riots.
Agitators.
They sparked them off so they could say, right, now, under the cover of riotous young people,
that's it, yeah.
We can attack the real party enemy. It's not the Tories. Tories. We'll get in bed with the Tories so we can attack the real enemy, supermarkets.
Supermarkets, mate. That's what it's all about.
Supermarché, as they say in France.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. Someone's been on a ferry away there, haven't they? Oh, look at you.
Or Grande Supermarché.
Oh, look at you.
Premium. First.
No, stop now. You're starting to
frighten me. Hey, what can I say?
It's totally right, but, you know, who have the coppers gone for? They blamed it on the anarchists, innit? You know, like, that's terrible. We need proper coppers, like Inspector Morse, like bloody Inspector Montalbano from Italy.
What was
like
him?
Derek the German. I think the older people in the audience will know about him.
Reg, proper off coppers. The bill.
Reg, off
in
the bill.
In fairness, yeah. There is a guy in our local police force, Avon and Somerset. Is it under Somerset? I've seen him up before. He's a fucking spit of the bill. And I know there's coppers listen to it because we have a lot of copper listeners. And you'll know.
Hello to all our copper listeners.
You know him. If you want, you know, you don't have to blow your cover or anything like that. Just set up an email address and email us the name of that one who looks like Reg, because you know he looks like Reg. You sit there every day going, fucking hell, he was probably born. He looked in the mirror and thought, I look like Reg. What else can I do?
That's it, yeah. The forces. It's the forces one for me.
That's it. There we go.
What else has been going on then, mate?
Well, as we know, you know, there's been a lot of controversy. I can't even say it.
It's that bit.
There's been a lot going on in Bristol.
Oh, not so super marché now.
Basically, there's been some gorillas in Bristol for a while now. As we know, from Timmy Mallett's gorilla a while back was burnt down.
Mm.
But recently, a half-size brown gorilla decorated by children from Old Sodbury School, little Babs, it was in the front of one of the sponsors' gardens, right? Well, this gorilla has gone missing. I know. Also, about 2 weeks ago, just under maybe, in St. Werburgh's, a gorilla named Werburgh, who's one of the half-size gorillas...
Mm. It's not a proper area, is it? Some Werburgh, so they only get half a size.
He went missing as well. Now, for me, well, I don't know. We were disgusted by this.
Obviously.
You know, this is disgusting. And
that's mindless violence, sir.
Well, yeah, at first, we thought we could release photos of these scum, you know, who perpetrated.
That's it, yeah. I started a Twitter campaign in 10 minutes, even though I didn't know the fucking first thing about it. I thought I was expert enough to start a Twitter campaign.
Well, the people who perpetrated such a heinous crime, you know, we went through the CCTV footage and seen, basically, what appears to be a pink mallet hanging off the perpetrator's shoulder.
Proof beneath me.
What our theory is...
Only a theory.
Hey, it's a cultural thing.
You
I'm
need
not,
Inspector Morse to verify
know,
it, but, yeah.
We think Timmy Mallett is going around stealing gorillas. He's going to steal 60 of the life-size ones and 100 of the half-size ones.
It's a big job.
And that'll leave Timmy Mallett's gorilla, dominant gorilla in Bristol...
Solo.
Sitting on the top up in Clifton looking down on all of us
on his gorilla island.
Fucking like mallet. Yeah, I think, you know, hey, it's just a theory. You can't That's do it. Us for slander,
but watch out. It's just for all our army of listeners out there, your eyes and ears, okay? You know, you're like, we're gonna like turn you into our own citizen police force to check for this man. Basically, if you see him, horn rim glasses, looks a bit of a twat, probably looking with his head face down like that because he's a little bit worried in human company, wearing probably a loud shirt to take away from his incredibly plain face. Give us a shout on the show.
The thing is, we did have a quick discussion before. He's not even from Bristol. He doesn't live in Bristol. Why is he painting gorillas down here? You know, I'm not a xenophobe. I'm not a racist. But if you're painting Bristols, if you're painting gorillas in Bristol... You should have some connection.
Bristol gorillas for Bristol people, that's
you know.
What
you
said.
Yeah, you know, at least buy a chocolate bar around here, you know.
That's it, yeah. He swans in here, probably jets in on a helicopter. That's not like Noel Edmonds or something, like Mike Smith. Jets in, plunks himself down. Let's go back to it. He took a month to paint that bastard. You know, on the clock, on our tax money. South Gloucestershire, Somerset tax money, that was.
He's coming round here, stealing our artists. You know, we could have locals painting gorillas. Oh, no. Get the fucking...
Not famous enough. No. It's all about celebrity, isn't it?
Degrade celebrities to come round here and he's probably sitting around, probably he's finished in there, he's go back to hotel to van, he's sitting around with all his gorilla groupies, and he's thinking, what I'll do is I'll steal all the other gorillas, so I get all the gorilla groupies, all of that. He's probably selling the gorillas off for a sniff, allegedly. Allegedly.
Only Inspector Morse can prove any of this.
Yeah.
It's a theory.
It's just a theory.
Should we go for another song?
Yeah, I think so. So the next song is New Strings on an Old Guitar by Clayton Blizzard.
Yeah, a lovely lad. We sent away basically for some freebies, wasn't it? Sort of said, give us some of your albums, and he said yeah. And he sent us back a couple of copies of his old album, A Criminal Record, which is really good, and his new album from 2009, I think, 1-2-3 Home, and this is a song. And he also said that we're the folk that play folk music, which meant a lot to me, because he is as well.
If you want a copy of his album, hello, you can go to claytonblizzard.com, or they sell him at the Cabelli Info Shop, which is in Easton.
An old guitar and made her own. There's always been singing in the family home. Folk music is only the umbrella term for the rhythm in everyday living. Folk is the music that's made by folk and then given down from generation to generation. Even if you rip it all up and start again, I broadcast a blast past the usual frequency. Radio used to be free, then it's licensed like TV for a fee, so the approved of the species can sing on air or appear on screen. But we see other things, don't run out of things to sing about. It still goes down all the time in your neighbourhood and mine, and many more like us worldwide. Started out crying, moaning, shifty and wide, lessons applied. Now who knew this kid would grab a mic, cry out, and get the crowd lifted? Cause I tend to think in rhyme and I'm really quite gifted. Essential information disseminating through the net, powers that be regulate to stifle dissent, because it gives the likes of us access to the market. Free flow of information and ideas is posing a threat. You bet it's fucking up the government. The medium is the message and they ain't having that, cause no one makes money off of file sharing. No, they don't make money off us singing in the kitchen. Don't buy much, I make my own. We sing of what we know in our own accent. Now tales of alienation through mass communication across the world to provide me with a spark of inspiration. So we're the folk that make folk music. We don't casually observe it, we're too busy doing it. Music in the rhythm of everyday living, with nose to the grindstone, head to the stars. It's just new strings on an old guitar. Nose to the grindstone, head to the stars. It's just new strings on an old guitar. Check it.
Joke.
To the poor, I pour it on in metaphors. You know the score, ain't nothing we ain't did before. Recycled beats to carry through streets and make feats of typical folk ingenuity. It's the nature of the art that comes from the bottom. It's all about language, we don't moderate. Or well, we do moderate, cause it changes every day. But it's our language, we'll do what the bollocks we want with it. If you don't like it, kid, you can always talk back. There's a city full of walls you can post complaints at. So where's your head at? Or where's it to? For your next 16 to 32 bars, nose to the grindstone, head to the stars. Quoting a lot cause it's all been said before. Mixing what's existing to make new forms. It's the nature of the art that comes from the bottom. Music doesn't come from a vacuum. It's made from available materials like everything else. It's contemporary music, MP3, any disc. Innovation still got tradition running through it, innit? Nothing don't never not just stand still. Regardless of fluctuations in the market, we'll still be doing it. Cause folk are always making music, like hip-hop is folk and it's folk that are making it. World Wide Web makes it free to transmit, and there's some great shit you can find if you trawl through it, and it's democratic, cause it gives any wanker access to the market, and record companies still spend money on marketing. I live to sing, I don't sing for a living. No formal training, just home entertaining, and the will to understand. And we'll bang our hands on pots and pans just to have something honest to dance to. And now it's visceral, intellectual, hot but not property. I got my education for free. Peace to the family.
Got my musical education for free. Peace to the family.
We're the folk that make folk music. We don't passively consume it, we're too busy doing it. We don't just observe, cause music is a verb. You heard. We're the folk that make folk music. It's nothing we haven't done before. It's only new strings on an old guitar. It's just new strings on an old
and
guitar.
And we bang our hands on pots and pans just to have something honest to dance to.
We're the folk that make folk music. We don't passively consume it, we're too busy doing it. We don't just observe, cause music is a verb. And we bang our hands on pots and pans just to have something honest to dance to.
This old guitar taught me to sing a folk song.
Hello, Mum.
We're the folk that make folk music.
It was a superb moment in the history of folk music, and maybe a great moment in the history of humans.
Let's go south of the river. Here we are. We've got a guest on this week.
Hello. How are you two?
Very lovely. This is Noel West, who's come on to do a bit of a talk about South Bristol, as we thought. You know, we talk a lot about Bristol Rovers and this side of the town, like, and we thought we'd broaden our horizons because we know we've got a lot of different sorts of listeners.
You have, yeah. And first of all, can I just say, I was going to slap you two for all the abuse you've been giving Bristol City, but I think you're both very funny and you've charmed me, and I'm a big fan now. So
that's
I'm
gonna, good.
Oh, you can ask me anything you like. What do you want to chat about?
Comedy's the best defence.
Well, we thought because of you know, all the riotous behaviour that's been going on recently, and we know, you know, you lived over in South Bristol in the 80s?
I did in the 80s, the 70s and the 60s, yeah.
Aww.
I have, yeah. So what do you want to chat about? You want to chat about the riots or the riots in the past? Or?
Well, a bit of both, really. I mean, what were you involved in back then? Would you have Hartcliffe?
Well, at Hartcliffe in 92. Should we chat about that?
Yeah.
All right, well, for your younger listeners, probably can't remember the. In the summer of 92, two lads, I won't say their names because their families have suffered enough, nicked a police car, a police motorbike, a top-of-the-range motorbike, and the cops, without telling their you know, people above them, went out on a mission to get that bike back at whatever cost.
Right.
And they saw the lads on the bike, and instead of arresting them, they swerved up to two them and basically, well, to cut a long story short, killed them. The two kids come off the bike dead. And obviously there was a big cover-up by the Evening Post and the usual suspects, as there is now with the, you know, the ongoing riots at the moment. But, fantastically, the people of Hartcliffe went out that night and basically had a pop at the cops. And there was about three nights of rioting. The first night, as is the case, was just the locals came out. The second night, basically everybody from South Bristol and further afield came out, and it was one of the best nights ever. Helicopters, hundreds of riot cops at Norwest, Hartcliffe, who up to that point had a lot of, there was a bit of bad feeling, united against the cops. And it went on for a third night, and then I think the fourth night it rained, and by then the cops had it sewn up. But the message was put over that, you know, there's a price to pay if you kill us.
Totally, innit? Yeah, that's what's got to be done. And yeah. What about Aftermath? Like, sort of, was it the same reaction? Was the same sort of, you mentioned the Evening Post, like, did the media go after you?
The media used all the same stories about outside agitators, and, I mean, you have to remember that Hartcliffe is a white working class estate, which has basically been dumped on the edge of nowhere, so no one cares about it. Evening Post don't give a fuck about them normally, but all of a sudden, Evening Post suddenly cared about the people, you know, bringing their area into disrepute and blah, blah, blah. You know, the Evening Post, that's probably looking at an A to Z to find out where Hartcliffe was, because obviously all their journalists live in Clifton and that. But it was a great time, because contrary to what you read in the papers, and this applies to the riots at the moment, I felt a lot safer that night than you would walking around the city centre, because people stuck together, black, white, and there are a few black families there, and there's a few black families from North West who came over. I won't mention any names, but they're quite well-known families. And everybody stuck together. You felt totally safe. This is women as well, you know. And it was just us against them, us against the cops. They killed two of us, and people were seriously up for doing something to them.
So this is the thing, like, sort of, from what you're saying, and like you say, you're a political man, you know, like, people are saying after this one, oh, it was nothing to do with politics, it was just mindless violence and things like that. But, like, you say, it sounds like what you're saying about Hartcliffe, is it definitely was political, because it felt like everyone was standing together, and it was an attack on a cop.
Yeah, it was. And you know, I think there was a general feeling that we people in that era, particularly, had been treated like shit, you know, for so long. You have to remember, this was 92, and we'd had 13 years of the Tory government, despite the fact that South Bristol continually voted Labour. And if you look at the pictures in the 80s, it was a sea of blue, apart from London in the south, apart from one red dot, which was South Bristol. So democracy was a joke. You know, we'd been voting against the Tories for all those years. We'd been dumped on that estate. Poor services. Despite all the... I mean, when it was built, the estate was supposed to have all these different services, but they never came. Right. You know, and you're just dumped on that estate, treated like shit. And basically, the cops were basically saying, you're all criminals, and if we want to kill you, we can kill you. Yeah. And we have done. And basically, what are you going to do about it? And they got the hiding of their life, you know. And they were, for 3 or 4 nights, they had to, you know, they got a little bit of retribution.
Yeah. And what was it like after that then? Like, so, did the coppers change edge? You know, were they a bit more respectful of the people that lived there after that?
There was a bigger police presence for a while, but and the court case went on for a long time, and I was involved with Class War then, and we did a lot of work around there. And I remember handing out Class War stuff, because we were the only political group who were saying, you know, you did really well. This is the only answer to police violence. All the leftists and all the other political people, the Labour Party, weren't interested. And people were coming up, shaking me by the hand and saying, yeah, at last someone gives a fuck about us.
Yeah.
Because they're just left there, you know. And the left aren't interested.
Wrong type of riot, isn't it?
Yeah, wrong type of riot, yeah, wrong type of people. And, it set a good example.
Yeah. Cool. Well, despite all that good stuff, you're still a City fan.
Yeah.
You can build a city in Somerset. Well, I don't know. Thanks for that.
That's
that
okay.
Interesting. And so, like, what do you feel about, like, sort of what's happening now? Do you feel like it's sort of
history repeating
itself?
Wheels
turning again, kind of thing. You know,
yeah,
People reaching the end of their tether again.
To me, it feels like 81. And which, for the younger listeners, you probably remember, there was a whole summer of riots, and they were very similar to the ones we've just had. There was a mass unemployment, and very similar, that young people felt they had no future. Basically, if you're young now, even if you've got a degree, you've got no chance of getting a job. All you're going to get offered is temporary work. If you want to buy a house, you've got absolutely no chance. Even renting in Bristol is a joke now, because so many, you know, fucking idiots are moving down from London and places like that, moving down here. Prices are too high. There's no jobs. You get a trade, there's a million other people, you know, a million other plumbers. You get a degree, you know, who the fuck needs a media studies degree? There's fucking millions of people doing that, you know. So at the moment, there's a feeling of apathy, and you know, there's no future. And so people, and you know, what if function these smash shops up?
Totally. You know, we said that before. It's like, you know, if you've got, the only thing that stops people rioting is people saying, fucking hell, well, I can't have a record because of my job, or my mum and dad are going to kill me, or, you know, or just, like, fear, innit, basically.
Yeah.
Like, everyone else is like, fuck it, let's roll.
And another important thing to remember is, which is particularly nauseating with the media, is that we are constantly bombarded with images of, we should have this, you should own a fucking Boss jacket, you should own these trainers, you should own this, or else you're nothing, you're scum. Well, if you ain't got no, if you've got no job and no chance of earning a decent wage, then what the logical answer to that is to go and nick it. You know, fuck
the
shops.
You get a chance, innit? Yeah, that's it.
And also, you know, no one ever needs an excuse to have a pop at the cops.
No. No, you're right there. coppers. So when you say, when you were saying about, because you were talking earlier about your younger days as a City fan.
Yes.
And your devotion to touring around the country.
I used to follow Bristol City, yeah. I used to, because, again, going back to where you're from, I mean, I'm sure you'll agree that we don't support Bristol City or Bristol Rovers because, I mean, if we lived in Middlesbrough, we lived in Bombay, we wouldn't support those two teams. We support those two teams because if you come from a working class area, that's one of the things you've got. That's one of the few things you've got. You support that team out of loyalty to that team. So, you know, we were discussing this earlier on. You know, if you asked me to name 11, the 11 players for Bristol City, I couldn't tell you, but I still support them every week because they're from, you know, that's the South Bristol team. And, yeah, I used to go away with them. And, and again, same as Roger, if you're away, if you go to, you know, anybody who's listening to this who's been on an away day with a firm knows that you could be treated like shit all week by your boss, but on one day you are a kings of the day. You're fearless, and but that said, you know, I started to change about football hooliganism because you look at Rovers fans, for example. And I'm looking at you two nice fellas here now, and you think there's no point in being these two up because they're the same as me. You know, they're just from their estates or you know wherever you're from, and really we should be attacking better targets. So that's why I gave it up. But, yeah, it was a laugh for a few years, yeah.
And what would you suggest would be a better target?
You know what? You know exactly what I was going to say.
I was just trying to incriminate
I'll give you an example. When Rovers used to play in Bath, we used to go down to what we call Trumpton. It was Twerton Park because you didn't have a ground.
All right.
Awfully sorry about that. And I know some City fans burnt that ground down in one time. I'm sorry about that as well. But
thanks for the apology.
You used to get, when I used to go there, it used to be a laugh, but you kind of felt like, you know, we should be doing something together. We should be attacking the rich of Bath, for example, or we should be attacking the cops. Or, as quite often we used to do on away days, we'd go shoplifting. You'd go and nick all the clothes that you couldn't afford under the cover of the game. You'd have 3,000 cops outside Twerton, and you could go down John Anthony. Sorry, John Anthony. I love your clothes. And go and nick a Stone Island jacket you couldn't possibly afford, you know.
So we'll be looking forward to a visit from the cops then after that that long and detailed chat. Right?
I've heard it all before.
So in celebration of our Prince of South Bristol, we thought we'd play one of yours, like. So, this is Tricky with Murder Weapon. I think it was from last year, only just gone.
2010, it says.
Oh, 2010, that's last year.
Shiny gun, my Glock on my waist. Watch, I got my Glock on my waist. You want to get acquainted to better see, or you want to meet my Glock Johnny?
It's all over in the third. Hey,
what you
doing? Don't be fucking silly.
What the fuck are you gonna do?
All I heard fucking words. What are you gonna do, silly?
What are you gonna do?
Pick up your bag, mate.
Here's
your bag.
Here's your bag here.
Come on.
Your bag.
Watch, I got my Glock on my waist. Watch, I got my Glock on my waist. If you want to get acquainted to better see, or you want to meet my Glock Johnny.
There we go. Well, that was Tricky with Murder Weapon. You like that?
I did like that, yeah.
Do you like Tricky?
I do like Tricky, yeah. I used to go to school with him, did I tell you that?
Oh, that's nice.
He was a year younger than me, and Mary were boys.
Were you in a little gang together?
No, I didn't really, to be honest, we used to call him, Boxing Boy, because his looks like he did boxing, his face was quite,
Yeah.
I knew, I
because yeah, when his dad was quite made over there, wasn't he? Like?
Yeah. If you were a black family in Norwest, you had to be quite, you had to be able to look after yourself.
Yeah.
But Tricky was an interesting character. Like, there's another character called Sapphire. I don't know if you know.
I know Sapphire. Yeah.
Tricky was similar to that because he used to walk around Norwest with odd clothes on, and you know that was a very brave move to be black and wearing
different clothes.
Yeah. Dresses or whatever. I can't remember what he used to wear now, but he definitely went a normal kiddie, which was, you know, great. Like, yeah.
Because
I was a punk at school, so I used to like anybody who was a bit weird.
That's
so, yeah, I like Tricky, yeah. Good man.
Punk? Well, that's music, isn't it? Speaking about music.
Magic.
This is our What's On section.
Good stuff.
There we go. So, as you all remember, about 3 or 4 shows ago, we were waiting for, you know, a quite seminal gig that was coming up in Bristol that got moved back to September. And it's tonight. Tonight.
Oh my God, tonight's tonight.
So actually, when you're listening to this, it would have been last night.
That's it. If you've been, you'll have to listen to the recording.
Well, so E17 are playing tonight.
Big news.
Hopefully, anyway, it got postponed last time. Hopefully, it's not now.
Yeah. I hope they got the nose bag sorted. You know, they'll play.
Yeah. Well, I know we probably got a lot of listeners there. Obviously, they're a big band.
That's it,
band.
Maybe they'll give us a shout from the stage. You never know.
Well, yeah. Do you think? And if you were there, you know, were you in a House of Love? Can you imagine being peeled up and being an E17 gig? I'm not saying it like it's a good thing. It's not me going, wow, that'd be great. I can imagine that'd be a fucking nightmare.
I just reach for the picture then. I can't imagine it.
I say it'd be a nightmare. If I was pilled up, I would dance. I have danced to girls aloud. Biology pilled up.
You'd be down the front with Brian screaming his name.
Ryan! Potatoes, isn't it, with him?
Potatoes?
Wasn't it with him? Someone with a potato?
Was he the one that got caught out?
No, he was driving his car. He was trying to park it. He fell out of his car, and his car drove over his own head.
Oh my god!
And the reason behind it was he said that he had ate too many jacket potatoes, so he was feeling all bloated.
Bless him. Bless
not him. The fact that he was probably, you know, allegedly.
That was it.
Gurned off his head, like, you know.
The topping on the jacket potato, that's what you'll ask, isn't it?
And I'd rather him say I was off my head on something than try and scare me off eating jacket potatoes and driving.
Yeah. Not on my watch.
No.
JP's and me, like that. Here to stay.
So on events that you actually will be able to attend, like, coming up on the 9th is Black Roots. At the gate, at the Fleece, which is $12.50 on the door. I think we played them a couple of shows ago. Sort of old 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of reggae, like. Is it 80? Grandad, can you remember?
I knew you were going to ask me this. Do I remember Black Roots?
Yeah.
They sound vaguely familiar, yeah.
Yeah, they're on that Bristol Reggae Explosion album. They're very good. And actually, that track we played earlier... From Tales Man. Oh no, we haven't played it yet. No, F it. We'll come on to that in a minute.
What is going on?
You turn away for a second. It's all over the place. So next Saturday, this is for our younger listeners, Noel. there's a genre of music called drum and bass. Are you aware of this?
I've heard people talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it any good?
It's lovely. It's
I ask a question?
Go on.
Are Duran Duran playing?
No.
Oh,
no, okay. I thought you were like hard, innit?
I'm leaving.
What a video, though, huh? Blew all our minds at the time. You can laugh now.
Someone took me to Duran Duran were playing.
Where?
At Trinity.
Someone
at
else
the start
said that
of their European comeback tour.
I've heard that as well. Well, I heard that from the people that are doing security there.
Hang on, so when's this? Because I've researched what's on, and I had some emails from people, and I had a look on Ents 24, have a look if you're looking what's on, to see what was coming up in September. I saw nothing about Duran Duran. Oh.
I don't actually like them before.
All right. So you don't like Duran Duran?
I never got on with them.
No. It's one of those bands who I'll say, oh, I don't like, because that makes me look cool. Actually, if they come on, I'll enjoy listening, like...
No, I don't know. You had to be there. They really meant. They were Thatcher in the 80s, basically.
Diana. Yeah. I wouldn't know about that. I'm from a different generation. I'm from the generation when it came through. You know, 80s are cool.
That's it.
Yeah.
You've never known hard winters, your generation. You've never known it.
I've never known it. And I never will.
Winter is coming.
I'm a affluent public sector worker.
I tell you what, we're nearly out of time, so unfortunately for Noel, I think it is gas time, basically.
Right.
Shall I leave? Or?
Let's clear the decks. No, you're fine.
You're fine.
You can stay as an observer.
Or shall I get the Stanley out? I'll sit and behave myself.
You went down.
I went down. Well,
to Hereford.
Right. Shall we start with Leighton Orient?
Mickey Mouse Cup, innit? That's what you always say the day after you go out. Mickey Mouse Cup.
Yeah.
Concentrate on the league.
I tell you what, Scott McLeish had a cheeky little attempt, like, do you see that?
He's settling in, isn't he?
He sort of. I'm no good at describing things. He had the ball. Yeah. He turned around. He flicked it. Tried to do a bit of a volley. Okay. It missed, but it wasn't far off. It looked like something.
A bit Van Basten-ish.
A bit like Brazil. A bit like watching Brazil play Rovers.
That's a lot, yeah. No, let's be honest, not much.
But it was the final score was 3-2. Zabrowski scored a lovely goal. That's Leighton Orient, really.
94th minute winner. Always hurts.
So Hereford, the big game.
Did you know about that? It's like, have you ever seen what's the film with Robert De Niro and Sean Bean? It's like a gangster film. He's meant to have been in the SAS.
Romeo,
and he sort of goes, Robert De Niro goes, could you tell me what colour the... he's trying to test out whether he actually was in the SAS.
Yeah.
And he goes, can you tell me what the colour of the doors on the gatehouse at Hereford were? And it made me die a little bit inside, because I didn't even bother to get the pronunciation right. That's what America thinks of Britain, basically.
But that's probably what an American would be like. Anyway, Hereford.
How are Hereford?
So Harold Ad, he played well, you know.
Yeah.
A few nice shots.
Lovely
Auburn hair. Lovely. I got a lot of love for him, like. Mm. I had like a funny dream about him.
How was his Auburn hair in real life? Was it
glowing?
Red or
glowing?
Glowing.
It was beautiful. But basically, the first half, we was down at Blackthorn End. The first half, we played shit, and the Blackthorn End was shit.
Was it the, moany or was this quiet?
The fucking cunt in front of me, like this young lad.
Oh, sorry,
Lisa. The lad in front of me. He was fucking moaning about everything. He was moaning about the team. He was moaning about the weather. He was moaning about people chanting too much, people not chanting enough. I just wanted to punch him in the back of the head, like, and just go, fuck off, like.
Yeah. Why are you here? You just come down and ruin my night or what? Like, fuck off, innit?
But, in fairness, the first half, the Blackthorn End was shit. There was a little bit of chanting, but there was long periods of silence, like, and I just think, come on. It was his first home game of the season. It was first home game? I think so. Second home? Well, there was still a lot of people there. You know, it was still pretty packed. Like,
it's been like that for a few years, though. Like, the golden days, like... Marcus Bignett slotting the winner against City, obviously. golden dream days. Because, of course, we do still hold the crown. It's obviously, you know... It's a bit like the welterweight title. He's afraid to fucking play, you know, basically. Going to chuck it in the bin rather than face you.
No, I mean, end of the first half, everyone went and had a drink. Had a pint. Well, someone would have squeezed 2 pints in.
Lovely. And hey presto.
Second half, banging.
People
got well on it. Like, people were up for it. And Rovers played a bit better, but it still ended in 0-0. Hereford, you know, they did play well, especially for Hereford. Whereas we could have, instead of going out and going, right, we're going to fucking have it, like, we just kind of... We didn't push, and we just thought, and we could have actually done them on all fours, like, and there was just no, there was no effort to, like.
I was going to say you slipped that in there, but that was just.
But I did notice down there. I was sitting in it and standing at the Blackthorn Inn and seeing this Catalonian flag. Catalonia, for those who don't know, is a region in Spain. You describe it as a region? They describe it as a state. But
I think they call them supermercados down there as well in Spain.
Is it?
Yeah.
Ooh, lovely. But I seen this flag flying and I thought that's a bit weird. But you do get people wearing St. Pauli scarves, which is a
German team.
I thought, well, you know, there we go. And then at the end of the game, I seen this bird... wrapped in this Catalonian flag, and I went up and chatted to him, and she, her and her bloke were, how do you say it, Sabadell, is that right? I say Sabadell, they say Sabadell. Yeah, and I was like, that's what I'm saying, Sabadell. And they go, no, Sabadell. Anyway, pronunciations aside, I can't do it right. All that talking stuff. They were sound as fuck. Like, they were over in the UK for 3 weeks. They're up in London, and they'd come down from London just for the afternoon to see the gas, because their team has the same coloured kit as Rovers.
Good stuff.
And they were really sound. I'll be going over staying with them. Lovely. And I tell you what, they hated Franco even more than I did.
Good to see.
Talking about fascists.
Well.
Whoa, have some of that.
Little fashy man got a slappy, didn't he?
So, Di Canio got a proper, you know.
Yeah, go on the internet and see it.
He had a bit of a scrap with, what's his name, Leon Clark, who's one of his players. Mm. I don't really care why... There was an altercation.
He had a row with one of the assistant managers.
And yeah.
Di Canio tried to, bully him, as fascists do. You know, he tried, it's my way or the highway. So he grabbed him around the neck to push him off the pitch. And Leon Clark, a good old freedom fighter, said, no, you bastard. Where are you going, sunshine? I'm not going to walk into the chambers. You know, you're going to have to fucking drag me.
Di Canio was a bit of a cunt about, you know, because, like, What De Canio is his excuse was, you know, I don't want. He was saying, "Well, I don't, you know, I don't want these publics to be these arguments to be done publicly, like, you know."
Yeah.
But by going up to Leon and grabbing his by his neck, Leon went, "No, get your arm off," because he's obviously, like, you know, when you're in a piss and it, and someone's coming, calm down, you know, that sort of thing.
Don't effing touch me.
Yeah. And then he grabbed his shirt and tried dragging him, like, and then they go further down the tunnel, and there was a bit of a scrap. But anyone who gives De Canio a slap, in my book, is a fucking legend.
He's out. I mean, they're fucked already, Swindon. You know, like, very glad, obviously. Swindon, like we were saying, with, like, Rovers and City, I don't hate Swindon, you know, like, sort of. But I don't want De Canio to work out there, and thankfully he's not. You know, like, we all knew it. He brought in loads of foreign players. They haven't gelled. They've lost three on the bounce. I think they're, like, 17th in the table.
Yeah.
They might do a bit better, but no, the sooner they ditch him, the better.
He's a cunt.
December, because obviously they're coming.
He's an absolute cunt. And I tell you what, we'll put some pictures. Sorry, Lisa. we'll put a picture up on the website. Classic picture of De Canio giving a Zig Heil with his little quote underneath. I'm not a racist. I'm a fascist. Yeah. You know, because if you're a Swindon fan out there, you know, fucking sort your fucking life out, like.
It's over their heads. It's the board, isn't it? But I've heard a lot of Swindon fans. I know some Swindon fans that are well against it. So all it needs, you know, obviously,
all it needs
not,
a group.
It's not for us to go in there and say you should sort it out, because Swindon will say, "F you," kind of thing. You know, it's for Swindon to sort out. But all it'll take is bad results, and they'll give them the boot. So.
I tell you what, though, if we had some dickhead like that managing our team, like, it's proper tough, fascist, and a load of Swindon fans come up and said, "Here, we'll give." Well, I was here. We'll go and have a word with him for you, or with you. Like, I'd be up for that. Like,
I don't know. You know, you got to take the terrace with you. You know?
Yeah. I suppose you're right. Because that could just gel them towards his fucking mental little ways.
It's all hypotheticals.
Yeah.
Peter Morse can sort that shit out.
Oh, exactly. We'll leave it to the police to deal with. The police can deal with De Canio.
I think we're nearly there.
Aww.
We might. I think this song might cut out a little bit. I don't know. We never know.
But I tell you what, this week's flown by.
Yeah, hasn't it?
And it's been fun.
Good stuff.
Fun stuff.
Thanks to our guests.
Thank you to Noel West.
It's been a pleasure. Respect to you both.
Coming all the way across from the river. You know, it's nice to see.
I come by horse and cart
because it's night out there. Isn't it? Street lights, obviously.
I was going to make a joke about you swimming across the river.
Yeah, I thought you might, you fuckers.
Webbed feet, but obviously.
Fuck you!
I didn't say that.
Right, the Stanley has come out now.
Jesus Christ. Nah. Definitely nothing to do with your mother or anything like that. All those rumours are very, very much untrue.
Well, thank you for having us in your rooms, you dirty ear slags.
You're the potty mouth. He's the potty mouth. I've been restrained and elegant.
Yeah. I'm going to say cunt again just for Lisa.
Sorry, Lise.
So what's the song we're going to finish on? And like I said, apologies to whoever this band is, but it's going to cut out halfway through, probably.
Talesman, Dole Age. This is the second CD out from Bristol Archive Records. This is Dole Age.
Beautiful. See you next time.
Cheers.
See ya. Speak my mind.
right. Just relax. Just be very comfortable and relax. Trust me. Okay. Close your eyes. Now, just listen for a moment. Listen to the sounds of the room around you. Now, I want you to pretend you're in a theater. It's one of those great old movie palaces. You look around. It's a huge theater. You notice that the walls of the theater are painted in black. And in the whole pitch black theater, there's only one thing you can see, and that's the screen. You notice there are letters on the screen, tall, thick, white letters, but they're out of focus, so you begin to drift closer trying to read them. You're very comfortable now. You're drifting closer and closer, staring at the letters. Very relaxed now, your legs are relaxed. You're almost close enough to read the letters now. They start to come into focus. The letters spell sleep.